Yeah, good evening. Thank you so much for being willing to listen to me. Got a captive audience. Thanks for my sister and her husband that joined us here. So support, we appreciate them here. And yeah, if you see butterflies around me at some stages, they're just being released from my stomach. There are many of them at the moment. As I say, this is not my normal position, but I do whatever the Lord tells me, and I trust that He will work through me tonight. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Who knows that verse? I think many of you may even have it somewhere that you can see it regularly. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And a number of years ago in Joburg, a number of us were asked to give a sermon or preach on our favorite verse. And this one obviously was there. I even have Anna Laura painted the eagle flying, and it's above our bed, flying there. So for me, it's a special verse. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yeah, and so tonight I want to share with you about waiting. And so I preached that in, as I say, I don't know, 10 years or so ago in Joburg. And I just heard a preach on waiting again earlier this year from a Georgian congregation in USA. And it just stirred that in my heart again. And I listened and I realized, and having walked with many of you or a number of you in the time of waiting and just a difficult time, I've learned so much more. And even in our own experience as a couple, we had times of waiting. So I just thought I'd like to share that with you and tonight. And just, it was for me just a reflection time and to learn more from what I've learned. And I've even asked a number of you to just give me a testimony or write up something about waiting. And I probably could have had for most of you here, but I'd like to share something of that later. But yeah, waiting can also mean in some people's mind wilderness. They both start with a wobble. So we normally end up wobbling in this time of waiting on the wilderness, but it's not something we enjoy. Very seldom it's enjoyable, but it's a deep and unavoidable reality in the lives of many, whether you're new to the faith or whether you've been walking a journey with the Lord. Waiting will somewhere happen in your life. You either have come out of it, just come out, or you're in the middle of waiting, or you're about to go into a time of waiting or into the wilderness. So, yeah, so that is something that we all experience sometimes, and that is why the message tonight is maybe for something that from the Scripture and that I've learned and that I've learned from those around me, to share with you, to help prepare, to direct you, and even to teach you to wait well, because it's an inevitable thing that we all have in our lives. So I want to give you some handles that I think is important. And in the there's a principle for me in the Scriptures, and that is of training, practicing, and forming. And in Hebrews 5:14, it talks about spiritual maturity. And it mentions there, the writer mentions discernment, and he talks about constant use or practice and training in a spiritual sense. So that's a principle that we have to train ourselves. We have to constantly practice for the things to become spiritually mature, and it's particularly if you're going into the time of waiting that you've already have observed and you've worked through things in your lives, so that the time of waiting is fruitful. And in the waiting, often the thought is, have I missed something? Have I missed God? Why am I here? Because I took a wrong turn. And yes, that can be. But often God takes us there with a purpose, because He wants to prepare us for the next season. He wants to prepare us maybe for the things. You've got a word from God about something that you must do, and He's preparing you in the time of waiting to become Yeah, to become what he wants you to become strong. And yeah, it's a training guard, so you have to be intentional. You can't sit back and relax. It's not a punishment. It's a time of preparation. And in Romans 8:28 reminds us, and we know that God causes everything, not some things, everything, to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So that time in the wilderness in waiting is part of everything. And therefore you can even rejoice in that, even though it doesn't feel like it. Some of us may say, I'm here because of sin in my life. And yes, that may be a case that something in your life needs attention. And he says that, I think David says, search your heart. And if you search and you find something, repent of that. But it's not a quick fix. That can be true. And sometimes we want to find the sin, we want to repent, and God will take us out and we'll be out of the time of waiting. No, although that's possible, he can say, Philip, you're here because I'm working on you. I'm preparing you and to look more like my son. And that's the way we must approach waiting and the time in the wilderness. Preparation, work on us to become more like his son. So what's a biblical perspective on waiting? And in Hebrew, kava means, and that's the word for waiting, to wait, to hope, or to expect. So it's a word that has tension in it. It's a word of stretching. It's a word of expectation. And so that is part of what waiting is. It's stretching, it's expectation. It's not a passive thing. It's something that is active and stretches you in that time. And in Greek, apparently, the word means to persevere patiently, endure, be long-suffering. So maybe the opposite. But it's also something that means you continue. You have to have endurance, you persevere, you endure, you suffer long. And there are some of us, I think someone at the back will feel like that. That's been a long-suffering time. But then, yeah, if we look at the Bible, there are heroes of the faith that's gone through times of waiting. And there's obvious ones which you all know. Abraham was waited 25 years for his son. David, who waited 10 to 15 years after being anointed to become king. Moses, 40 years in Midian. Joseph in prison, waiting to be released there and wondering if God had forgotten him. So the questions that come to mind is, God, do you see me? God, do you remember me? Is this really your plan? And that's, I think, questions that David must have been asking them. And so, yeah, the great heroes of faith have all gone through periods of waiting. So God is not committed to our outcomes as much as he's committed to our formation. The formation, what he's forming in you, it's much more important for God, and he's committed to that. It's who we become while we wait, and not what we are waiting for, that really is important. In Psalm 27:14, David says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. David doesn't say, wait patiently for your outcome. He says, wait patiently for the Lord. So that is our end goal, is for the Lord. And I think the words that came tonight that was released is for me fits in so well, that it's about the Lord. It's not about the outcome. It's not what we're waiting for. In Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, David wrote, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. And yes, if sin is that what's revealed, then you deal with it. You repent and you turn away from that. But in many cases, what is God doing in the waiting? And this is things that you don't have much control, but in the waiting, you will experience one or more of these things. I mentioned four of them. He reveals stuff. The waiting reveals stuff. The wilderness, the waiting, reveals, exposes, and even strips some stuff out of your life. And the first one is he exposes what is in us. Who do we worship? What is the idol in our hearts? More often than not. And he did that with the Israelites when Moses went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, or the commandments. They waited for him, and after 40 days, they thought, okay, shame, something must have happened to Moses, and they were looking for something to worship, and they made the golden, or Aaron made the golden calf. And yeah, so what they just turned away from God, and they wanted to worship something. They didn't wait. They were simply pressed by waiting. And in our lives, sometimes it can be your spouse, your partner, your wife, your husband. Some of us worship or have an idol for them and place them before God. Or our children, a children-centered house. In my mind, sometimes means that the children are put before God. So what is the things in your life that's before God? And that is often that God exposes in the time of waiting. Secondly, he exposes our fears. What is the fears that are in our lives? And the fear of being alone, sometimes a fear of not having a spouse, or overlooked at work, or a fear of missing out, or fear of failing. And that can be exposed, and is exposed quite often. And the question is, if only God sees me, is that not enough? No, we want others to be able to see me and have recognition from others. So exposure of our fears is important, so we can deal with it. Exposures of our control, and I think this is a big one. A lot of us want to have a life in little boxes and ready and worked out. And the two big words there is impatience and self-reliance. Are you impatient, a person that is impatient, or self-reliant? You want to make sure where your life is going. And something of that, I think, was seen in Abraham and Sarah when God told them they'll have a son, and he got impatience, and they relied on their own plans. Self-reliance, impatience, and it went south from there. So, yeah, a temptation to force outcome instead of trusting God. Are you that we sometimes want to? And we want to force this outcome. This is what I expect of God, and then we force it and not trust God to bring it through. And it happens often when certainty is removed, when certainty in your life is removed. Yeah, and then your heart is revealed. Take that certainty away. And that was when the Israelites happened, when they were on the Red Sea, edge of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were coming, and then they said to the God and to Moses, yeah, look where you've taken us. Now we're going to die in the wilderness. You know, why didn't you leave us back home in slavery? That was better than dying here in the wilderness. And uncertainty just took better of them, and they lost. They've just seen 10 plagues, God doing massive things in their lives in Egypt, and suddenly they lost the trust, and they were self-reliant and were impatient. So what is it? Do we want God, or do we just want his gifts? Do we want what he can provide? Or is it God that we need? And that's exposed by waiting. And the wilderness strips away our supports, our false supports. What supports us? And for the Israelites, it was. They felt comfortable, even though in hardship, they felt comfortable in Egypt. Now suddenly that's stripped away, and they have to deal with this uncertainty and rely on God. And the question was, do you really trust God? And yeah, I mean, waiting finally tests whether you trust God's timing or you will force your own outcomes. And I think that was something that we experienced. I asked Ann-Laura over the weekend just to write up her testimony of our waiting time. And it was about children. When we got married, we said, what happens in a discussion when we don't have children? We said, we'll adopt. You know, that's our choice, is to adopt if we can't have our own children. And then it's something of that came true. We in 1980, after 2 years of marriage, we said, okay, let's try for children. And for 3 years, or just about 3 years, nothing happened. Ann-Laura was on fertility, and she should have had probably 6 triplets or something like that in the process. But nothing happened. And she wrote a long testimony, but I just have an extract here. And then something breaks inside of me, she says. A friend of mine who had a device to prevent pregnancy falls pregnant. And I'm doing everything medically possible and still nothing. For 10 days, I cry without stopping. I am not just sad, I'm angry with God. So angry that I don't even want to go to church. It's Easter, and Philip tells me I'm going with him. And for once, I listen. It tells you something about our relationship. But that was 40 years ago, so... But anyway, she was honest. This message hit me in a place I cannot ignore. I hear this truth in church. God loves me, even when I cannot feel it. He's standing right behind me. I just have to turn around. And suddenly, something clicks. I realize I can scream, I can shout, I can kick like a small child having a tantrum, but it will not change anything. And then I say the words that changes everything. Your will, not mine. This is the moment my faith drops from my head, where we said we'll adopt, to my heart. I surrender, I truly surrender. I pray, Lord, do with my life whatever you want. And I understand something I never understood before. God has been waiting not to punish me, but until I'm ready to trust him. And then within a month or so, we were on the waiting list for baby adoption. And by September that year, we had adopted our daughter. And so God moved when we move in our hearts. And that was our thing. And then 2 years later, we had our own biological son as well. So God was really there all the time. It was just that we, or Anne-Laure in particular, I think had to break through and get what was in the head to in the heart. Yeah, so what I was saying, this God strips away, God changes, God's moving in us, and that is not that something we choose, that's what God does, irrespective of who we are, what we want to do. But there's a second thing that he wants to do, he wants to shape us into his character. And that's where I think the words that came tonight, that we have to open the door. I mean, God could try to shape the character. But if we don't allow him, if we don't allow that in our lives, then that's not going to move. And Isaiah 40 again, he talks about, as I mentioned earlier, he renews our strength. But what I realized, and that time I didn't, and now I'm thinking, this is what I realized. God doesn't renew my strength when I wait on him by dropping a bottle of strength into my life or the Holy Spirit empowering me with strength. No, God gives us strength as he changes our character to become like him. We go strong through a shaping of our character. And that's the strength, I believe, that he talks about in the waiting. And there's four shifts that I want to briefly talk about that impacts us to become like him. And I like the acronyms, as most of you know. So it's an S to S and a C to C and an E to E and a P to P. So those are the four acronyms. But firstly, moving or shifting from myself to my Savior. And that is the most important one, that he confronts our selfishness and teaches us to surrender. We realize life is not about getting what we want when we want it. And I think John the Baptist, when his disciples came to him and said, look, Jesus got so many followers and you got more followers than you. His reply was, he must increase and I must decrease. And I think that's the process in waiting or in the wilderness. Myself must decrease, and then God and Jesus must increase in my life. And that, I can understand that people get depleted, because when you're on self-reliance and your own power or your own strength, you get depleted because it's strain on your life and on your body. But God provides us with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So it gives us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And those three things, of power, because we need power to endure, to get through the time of waiting and the wilderness. But also what I like about this, it gives us a sound mind. Because in that time, you have to take action. You hear, you receive, but if you have the sound mind that the Spirit gives, you work through and you come to a point where God releases you from that time. And yes, mostly and often, there's uncertainty. You don't know what the way is out, but hopefully with God's wisdom and your fellow, your elders and or your leaders, and those around you that you trust, you can receive an outcome. Yeah. Biblical hope, I wrote here, is waiting under tension, and it's rooted in a person, and his name is Jesus. That's biblical hope in the end. Secondly, circumstances to character. Changing or shifting from God's circumstances to God's character. We often focus on what's missing, but God redirects us to his faithfulness. So our shift must be away from what is missing in our lives and what we're wanting, but to God's character. And in Romans 8:28, as I read earlier, he reminds us that all things work for his good. So it's shifting from this is very hard to God is faithful. And if that's the mind that you can develop through the Spirit, I know this is very hard, but I also know God is faithful, and that's where your trust and your focus is. So the uncertain circumstances, you can then face with more confidence, where you're not looking at what is the end, but you know the one who walks with you, even through these circumstances. And in Psalm 23, the writer David says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So clearly, David wasn't saying God will take me out of the valley of the shadow of death, but he's there with you. In your time of waiting in the wilderness, that is where God is. He will comfort you with his staff and the rod. And that's where we want to be, and that's where God wants to change us, even in the valley of the shadow of death. The third movement or shift is from earthly to eternal. And 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 talks about our present affliction, which is light and momentary. Light and momentary, compared to the eternal glory. So waiting lifts our eyes from the here and now to what lasts. And all of these things that I've mentioned so far and that I'm mentioning is things that you have to open your ears and your heart to, for God to do. You can close up. And I think that was what Kekwin was sharing earlier. She could have stayed in bed and not reacted to that, but she went out and cried out to God and turned to God. And that's the difference between someone in the waiting period just waiting impatiently and someone turning to God and letting him open your eyes as you. And she looked at the skies and realized where her strength is from. So from here and now to what lasts. And the last one is pain to praise. If he can move, because in waiting and in the wilderness there is pain, there's heartache, there's pain. But as we saw from Paul and Silas in jail, they had extreme pain. But they shifted their gaze from the pain to praise. And they lifted it up. They turned the valley into platforms of worship. And that is where we need to go and what we need God to do. Psalm 40, David talks also about that, where he said, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. And he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground, and he steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a song to sing, a hymn to praise our God. Many will see that he has done what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. And that's what's beautiful, that you go through that, you turn pain to praise, and you eventually, when on God's timing, come out of the time of waiting, out of the wilderness. But your testimony is going to be amazing to many people, and because of your testimony, they will put their trust in God. So often, and more often than not, and I want to say every time, when you're in that, you're not doing it for yourself, and you are also going through that for those that you will be able to comfort, that you will walk with, that will hear your testimony and will praise God, as David said here. When God forms you in the fire, you become a beacon for his goodness. And that's what God wants to do as well. It's not only for yourself. He's wanting to you to be a beacon, a light that he can put on the hill and not hide under a bucket, but to shine for him and to his glory as you move out of that time. So what am I saying? I'm saying embrace waiting. Embrace waiting. The time of waiting, because it produces fruit. That is so important to realize. Waiting must never be a time of waste. And it can be. If you just ignore and you sit back and wait and you don't get up and spend time with God, and it can be wasted. Because you are the soil, and your roots need to grow into the soil. So what do you do with that soil is for you to do in with God's help. God does the pruning. He does the pruning in your life, and he brings and grows the fruit. But if you don't tend to the soil, if you don't grow strong roots, when the fruits come, how strong will you be to carry the fruits? Sometimes if we're not strong in God's character, the fruits become to flow, and then we get prideful, and we think, wow, look what God is, what I'm doing, and forget it was God. And so therefore, you need to have strong roots and a strong tree and branches to carry the fruit that God wants to bring. And that was with the Israelites. They left, when they left Egypt, it's written in Exodus there that God didn't take them to the promised land. He took them through the desert and wilderness because he knew if they went straight to the promised land, they would have turned back when they saw the giants or started fighting and ran back and would have run back to Egypt. So he kept them in the wilderness to strengthen them so that they can be strong for the season in the promised land where they needed to be strong in character and fight. And that is what God more often than not wants to do with you, to strengthen you in that time so that you can be ready for the next season. And he's never in a hurry. God is not in a hurry. He has his timing. He has his ways of doing it. And that is what you have to realize. And it's the greatest fruit of waiting is not what we receive, but who we receive. And if we can realize that, the fruits of waiting is who we receive, then it's worth waiting. It's worth waiting for that moment, for that moment for Aunt Laura to turn and to know that, you know, God, do your will with me. I'm ready. And just have know that Jesus is there for us. That was worth all the waiting. And some of us are still in waiting. But yeah, God remembers. It was interesting that after 400 years, when the angel came to Israel and to the priest, he came to a priest that was named Zechariah, which means the Lord remembers. So sometimes we feel God is absent. He cannot be in this time. He's pulled out of my life. And that's not true. He's silent, but he's not absent. He's never absent in your life. You have to realize that. God remembers. In Isaiah 64:4, Isaiah says, "For since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him." He works for us in the waiting. And if you have to realize that God is working for us as we wait. But there's a question I want to leave you with as I finish. I might be saying, God, I'm waiting for you. When are you responding? But God is the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Maybe God is actually saying, Philip, when are you going to surrender? So the question is, who's waiting for who? Is God waiting for you? Or are you sitting back and waiting for God? I am convinced that it's in all cases, or most cases, God is waiting for us to turn to Him, to achieve what He wants in us, to build us to be more like Jesus, to strengthen us so that we can be what He wants us to be in the next season. And for me, the picture of the prodigal son is someone illustrated. The son went away and he did his own thing, and he went there, and then he thought, you know, he was left with nothing. And all the time, God was waiting for him, or his father was waiting for him. And his father was never going to come to him there where he was in that pit and the pigsty. He had to turn around, go back to his father who was waiting for him all the time. And I think that's the picture I want to leave with you, that where you are now, maybe not where God wants you to be. He wants you to turn around and come to him like the prodigal son came back to his father, and he welcomed him with open arms, and he never condemns, like when Jesus waited for Peter on the beach when he went back to fishing and walked away. Jesus was waiting him not to condemn him, but to welcome him with open arms. And I think that's what Jesus is doing tonight as well. He's saying, come to me. Father is saying, come to me. You might be in a time of, in a place of waiting. And Eloise also wrote something for me, as many of you know. She's, I think, 12 months or so that she's been without work and not trying. But she's gone through many things. And she sent me a testimony, and I took some of it out there. And I just want to read some. Many days I felt like God has abandoned me. He rejected me, and that God has gone silent, and it's felt like everything I asked for has been on delay. I felt frustrated on many, many, many days. It felt like God was not even listening to me. What I've been doing while waiting on the Lord is to stay in the Word, to hear His voice, and to understand clearly how He communicates to me through His Word, to pray with expectation for others, and to relinquish frustration, knowing that God will come through in His time. To guard my attitude, I've learned that bitterness and ungratefulness is the fastest way to feel sorry for myself, to feel like everything is not just going my way, and mostly to delay God's blessing on my life. Staying in gratitude kept my heart open to receive from God and to do for others more than I've ever thought was possible or able. He has deepened my faith in ways that I've never experienced it before. Waiting has expanded my dependency. I'm totally now dependent on God. And there's much more. But so, yeah, I think something has broken through for Eloise as she has been in this time of waiting in the wilderness. And so that is what I shared here is something. Yeah, so she has seen that. And why she's still waiting there, God knows. And He will come through at His time. But I just wanted to share that because I can see something of God has moved and shifted in her. And she's experienced what I think the word that I brought tonight shared. So, yes, I just want to say, practice in the small things. The message that I gave tonight in how God shifts you from savior, from self to savior, from earthly to eternal, from pain to praise. Don't wait for the time when you're in the desert. That the principle in the word, as I said, that if we mature, we want to practice, we want to train. We don't run the Ironman. One of our members here today, Janice, has ran the two oceans today. But she didn't just rock up at the two oceans. She trained, she practiced, she was diligent in that. And I think, in a way, these things we must also practice and train in our lives so that we can do things. We can do that when we are in waiting, but also to help others. And even when we are not in a time of waiting or in the wilderness, we can come alongside others. We can support them, but in the process also learn from them in how to change our lives. So I just want to do an invitation to say, let the waiting work in you. Surrender. Lay it down. Lay down. Come home. Your Father is waiting. And if you do, you may not get every answer, but you will get Jesus.